This morning, take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, we are carrying on, and we've come to Exodus chapter 3, looking at the life of Moses, and looking at an aspect of his life we're probably somewhat familiar with this morning, and trust that it will be that which we see in our own life, and we can learn from Moses and what he did, and what he should have done, or what he should not have done, perhaps we would say. We're talking about excuses this morning. I entitled the message, Quit Making Excuses. We are people who are very adept at making excuses. We find it very natural to excuse our behavior, or to excuse our actions, or to excuse ourselves from something that we should be doing, that we're asked to do. We find excuses. Now, there's different aspects of that excuse or excuse. It's the same word, spelling-wise, but it means two different things. Sometimes we need to be excused, and we might say, excuse me, for something that we've done, and that's a good thing. But what we're talking about here is making excuses for something that we should do that we are not doing. And we learn how to do that from the earliest days of childhood. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's a lot harder to teach a child to say, excuse me, for something that they did that they shouldn't have done, than to, you don't have to teach them to make an excuse about something that they should do that they don't want to do. We don't need to be taught to make excuses. They come naturally. Somebody said that an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. That quite often would be a pretty accurate definition of what we do with an excuse. We may say, well, that sounds a little extreme. I don't want to think that I'm lying when I make an excuse, but you know, sometimes we may not realize it, but that's exactly what we're doing. In our text this morning, Moses comes up with some excuses when God calls him and asks him and says, Moses, here's what you need to do, and here's what you need to get busy at doing. Though he'd previously seen God's hand in his life, he'd previously seen God's call to what God wanted him to do, he'd previously seemed ready and anxious to get to do what God was expecting of him, but now it's time, and God says, okay, Moses, now let's get this going. And Moses is like saying, oh, okay, just hold on a minute. You don't understand. I can't do that. And he begins to make excuses. In response, God patiently dismantles each excuse that Moses gives. And it's my prayer this morning that we look at God's response to Moses that we'll see in our own life where we need to just say, sorry, Lord, I shouldn't be trying to make excuses. I will do what you've called me to do. And so, and again, the message is entitled, Quit Making Excuses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land, that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Now, if you think about Moses listening to what God is saying up to that point, he's saying, yep, that's right. Yep, absolutely, that's right. But then the next verse, God says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, things change a little bit. Now God's saying, okay, Moses, it's you that has to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? What does Moses start to do? Make excuses why he can't be the one that brings the people of Israel out of Egypt. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, as God says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, they will say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and thus shall you spoil the Egyptians. We'll read a little bit more in a few minutes, but I'll get us started this morning thinking about Moses and his excuses and how God answered them. But let's pray together as we begin the message. Lord, we are thankful that we can meet this morning. We are thankful for the Word of God. And though this story takes place in a completely different scenario than our lives will ever be, we understand you want to teach us from this passage of Scripture today. So give us attentive ears, open hearts, and ready minds to act upon that which you speak to us about. Lord, may we be people who respond with, yes, Lord, instead of, well, I'm not sure. Lord, no, I don't think I can. When you call us to do the things that you call us to do. So speak to us, I pray, each one. And Lord, may this be a time that we would have much to ponder and be drawn closer to you through. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think, first of all, this morning about Moses' reasons for excuses. Just think with me for a minute. Why did Moses make so many excuses? Why didn't he just say, yes, Lord, okay, let's get it done, let's go? Why did he make those excuses? I'm not saying that those excuses were justified. I'm not saying that they were there was a good reason to make them. But let's just put ourselves in Moses' shoes for a little bit. And realize that the same things probably affect why we begin to make excuse when God calls us to do things in our life as well. Realize that Moses, as we said last week, would have been discouraged and disheartened at this point in his life. Remember, 40 years earlier, he's ready to go, and he jumps ahead, he jumps the gun, and things don't turn out well. He gets chased out of Egypt, essentially, to spare his life, and now things haven't turned out the way he expected. Moses would have been discouraged and disheartened somewhat because of what had taken place. He would have been discouraged by the reception of his fellow Israelites when they thought they should have known that he would be their deliverer. I mean, he thought they should know, and they didn't understand. They said, "Who made you a judge and a ruler over us?" He would have been disheartened because when he was ready to deliver Israel, the timing wasn't right. You ever been ready to do something and it's not the right time, and then when the opportunity actually comes, okay, now's the time, you say, I'm not excited about that anymore. You're disheartened about it. That's Moses. 40 years earlier, man, he's ready to just get it done. But now 40 years have gone by, and I don't know. I'm not too excited about that anymore. Disheartened about it. Discouraged about it. You know, when we're discouraged or disheartened by the circumstances of life, when things have let us down, or plans have failed, or even the way things have turned out, when we thought we were doing the right thing, and when we thought we were pleasing God, when things just don't go quite right, it can easily get us discouraged. And so then it's like, okay, now it's time to get something done. And we go, I don't think I can do that. We begin to make excuse. That's where Moses was at in his life. He was also distracted. 40 years gone by. 40 years of making a new life, not in Egypt anymore, neither in Pharaoh's palace nor with his own people in Goshen. Now 40 years have gone by. He's made a new life. He's got a wife. He's got children. He's got a new job. And now God says, okay, now you need to go back and get busy and do that which I called you to do, that which I prepared you for in your life. But Moses says, I'm not there anymore, God. That's not where I'm at. I've got a new life now. And he was distracted. You know, if we're caught up with other things in our life, we're likely to make excuse because we can't, about why we can't do what God wants us to do, because we aren't necessarily as interested in his plan anymore because we've been distracted by other things. Jesus said in the parable of the sower and the seed, he said that third seed that was sown among thorns, that the cares of this world choke out the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares and the deceitfulness. You know, we can easily get caught up in life and say, God, I'm kind of busy living my life. I really don't have time. I don't think I'm the guy to do what you want me to do. Moses was distracted, and Moses was also, no doubt, daunted by the task. Can you imagine? I mean, he knew 40 years earlier how Israel was growing and becoming mighty in Egypt. Now, he'd had 40 years of leading sheep in the wilderness. He understood what it meant to lead them. He had to go find the ones that went astray and make sure he knew where to feed them and all these kind of things. He had 40 years of doing that. And now in his mind, he's thinking, man, if God wants me to lead the people out of Egypt, there's like maybe, they say upwards of, you know, between 600,000, I've heard up to 2 million Israelites to come out of Egypt. He's thinking maybe in his mind, you know, that's a lot of people. You know, I'm quite happy to look after my 100 sheep here in the wilderness. And, you know, to go back and to do that and to have to be accountable to looking after the needs of maybe 1 million or 2 million people, that's a pretty big task. That seems like it would be impossible. That seems like a little bit more than I would be interested in doing with my life. You know, maybe the things that you know God wants you to do seem hard. They may seem like this, that would be more difficult than the way things are going in my life right now. They may seem impossible to do what God wants you to do. And if so, you're probably more likely to make an excuse as to why you can't do that. And so what does Moses do? What often we do? He rustled up some excuses. He said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, you got to think here. No, you know why, Lord? I can't do that because... And he began to make excuses. God had a plan for Moses, but Moses wasn't ready to follow. And so he rustled up a handful of excuses as to why he couldn't do that. What does he say first? I'm unworthy. Who am I? Lord, who am I that I would go and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm unworthy to do what you're asking me to do. Isn't that an interesting statement? Because 40 years ago, he seemed pretty thinking that, hey, everyone should know I'm the guy. Everyone should understand that I'm the one who would do this. But defeat and discouragements in life often take the wind out of our sails. And now he's saying, who am I? Who am I to do that? Lord, I'm not the right person. And he begins to make these excuses as to why he feels that way. Although it's never an excuse if God has called us, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be humbled by the task. But don't use it as an excuse to say, who am I? No, Lord, I can't. If God has called you, don't you think he knows better who you are? God's asking you to do things. Don't you think he knows better who you are? What about this one? He says in verse 13 of chapter 3, they won't think I know who you are, Lord. He said, when I go, who will I? They're going to ask me, who sent me? And what will I tell them? What is your name? What shall I say unto them? Moses was concerned that Israel would think he didn't really know God. I mean, let's face it. From Israel's perspective, he was raised in Pharaoh's palace. Now he's gone out and he spent 40 years in Midian working for a priest of Midian. Not an Israelite priest, but working for the priest of Midian. Now he comes back and he's thinking, if I go back, they're going to say, well, yeah, what God sent you to us? What's his name? You know, when we are called upon, which we are as Christians, to speak up for the Lord, we may make the excuse that we don't know enough. Lord, I won't know what to answer them. I won't know what to say to them about who you are. And they may ask me questions that stump me about who you are and what you've done and all these kind of things. And we begin to make excuses as to why we can't do that. Our fear of the unknown causes us to make excuses when we really need to remember that that blind man who was healed of his blindness and really knew nothing about Jesus, when they asked him, "Who made you whole?" he says, "All I can tell you is I was blind and now I can see." So he must be some amazing person that can do that. We don't need to know everything before we can go. And Moses didn't need to know everything about God. Then he said, "Well, they won't believe me." Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.'" Lord, they just plain won't believe me. Okay, I can tell them who you say you are to me, and I can say that this, but they won't believe me. Although he had God's answers to what to tell them, he still used the excuse that people wouldn't believe him. And I wonder how many times we've used an excuse like that with the Lord. What's the sense, Lord? It won't make any difference. What can I do that will impact? What can I do that will change the world? What can I do that will influence somebody for Christ? What can I do? They won't believe me. What did God tell Ezekiel? God said, "Ezekiel, are you going to go and you preach, 'Thus saith the Lord,' whether they will hear or whether they will forbear? You go, just go tell them what I said." Moses said, "I'm not even qualified." In chapter 4, as we continue reading down, verse 2 says, "The Lord said unto him, 'What is in thine hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. The Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom.' And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, 'Put now thine hand into thy bosom again.' And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not hearken, they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Look at verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Oh, there's another excuse, isn't there? "Lord, you've got the wrong guy because I'm not qualified to do this. I'm not an orator. I'm not eloquent. I don't know about you, but when I read verse 10, it sounds pretty eloquent to me. Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant." That sounds pretty eloquent, doesn't it? We said, I'm not an eloquent person. I'm of a slow speech. I wouldn't make a good leader because I'm not a fluent speaker. I'm not an eloquent speaker. It's interesting that he would say this because Stephen, who of course was inspired of God, was being used of the Lord to preach the word, and it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 7, verse 23. Stephen said that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. But Moses sees himself as not eloquent. Perhaps he was not a quick talker, and they didn't have teleprompters back then. He says, I don't think quickly, and I'm a slow talker. Some people think that maybe Moses had a speech impediment, that maybe he stuttered or something like that. But you know, in making excuse, we often understate our abilities to try and make it so that we aren't the right person for the job. Isn't that what we do as children? When our parents ask us to do something, "Oh, I don't know how to do that. Can you wash the dishes?" "Oh, I don't wash dishes very well." Well, our parents were just happy that if we washed them, they didn't care how well they were washed, just wash them, right? Get them clean. But we make excuses. We understate our abilities. And that's exactly what Moses did. "Lord, I'm not eloquent," when it's recorded of him, he was mighty in words. Then he says, basically, Lord, you better send somebody else. Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And look at verse 13, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Okay, Lord, whoever you want, but you've got the wrong guy here. I'm really not the person. How often we try to get out of something by telling God, God, really, you'd be a lot better off if you used somebody else. I know, okay, I'll do it, but really, you know, just so you know, I'm not really the right person to do this. What a slap in the face to God it was, who had answered all the other excuses, as we'll see in just a moment, and that Moses says, Lord, whatever, but I'm not the guy. I just want you to know. God spared him from death as a baby. God caused him to be raised in the house of Pharaoh so he would know all the different things he needed to know. God trained him even in the backside of the desert as he led about those sheep. God gave him all the reasons that he would be the one, but he says, no, I really don't think I'm the right guy, Lord. You notice all these excuses Moses used, that they were all about me, 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 me. Lord, I can't. You've chosen the wrong person. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't know this. I don't know that. I'm not. Not once does Moses humbly say, Lord, I don't understand why you've chosen me. I don't really know how I can do this, but this is what you've said. I'm humbled that you would ask, but okay, I will do it. No, he doesn't say that. He's all about me, 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 me. You know, when we make excuses, it's usually because we are more concerned about ourselves than we are about what needs to be done or about God who's calling us to do it. It's the focus is on I can't, I won't, I need to do this, I too busy, I'm, instead of on, Lord, this needs to be done. Lord, help me to do it. And so he rustled up some excuses, but God reacts to Moses' excuses. God has an answer for all of those excuses. Not like the answers that we may have given, though. You know, if I was answering Moses, obviously it's a silly statement to make because I can't answer Moses' excuses. But I don't think I would have answered it the way God did. But that's no surprise. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways than our ways. But, you know, if you or I were answering Moses some of these excuses we've looked at, we may say, Moses, oh, come on. What do you mean you're not qualified? You were raised in Pharaoh's house. Moses, what do you mean you don't think you're the person? Don't you realize God spared your life? Moses, you're slow speech and all these things? You were taught all the wisdom of Egypt. And we would have reminded him of all the human things that he had learned. We would have reminded him of all the different aspects of it, how he was prepared for these things as a child. We would have reminded them, yes, of course, Moses, they will listen to you because God has called you to do these things. You're a good speaker. We would have used probably, at least I speak for myself, that's where my mind would have gone to answer all his excuses. But God didn't use those things when he answered Moses' excuses. You know, often what we need to combat our excuses is not about who we are, but about who God is and how God has equipped us and prepared us for what he has for us to do. It's not about us, it's about the Lord. So God comes to Moses, back in chapter 3, verse 12, and he says, Moses, you may feel unworthy as to who you are, but remember who I am. That's what God says. Remember who I am, Moses. What does it say in chapter 3, verse 12? He says, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, and so on. God promised his presence. God says, I will be with you. Moses, you may be a nobody in your own eyes, and that's not always a bad thing in some ways, but God, just remember, I am with you. What did Paul say? My weakness becomes my strength when God is there. His strength is perfected in my weakness. God says, I will be with you, Moses. Moses, this isn't about whether you're worthy. It's about me using you. It's about me being with you. You know, this should have been enough to answer every other excuse. It should have stopped right there, shouldn't it? Because God says, Moses, I'll be with you. And Moses should have humbly said, Lord, if you're with me, it really doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter whatever else I think. If you're with me and you're in this, it can be done. And that should have been the end. But it wasn't the end for Moses, and it's often not the end for us either, is it? God's presence in what He is calling us to should be enough to clear up our excuses. Christian, today, do you realize that God promises His unfailing presence with you in all that you do for Him? I will be with thee. God assured him of success in verse 12. Do you notice what God says to him in verse 12? He says, when thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know, God doesn't say, if you ever get out of there, Moses, then here's where you'll worship me. No, God says, when you brought those people out, this is where you're going to serve me. What is God saying? Moses, this will be a successful mission. You're guaranteed of success in what I've called you to do. Now, there'll be some things along the way. God says that Pharaoh's not going to let you go easily. But God says, ultimately, you'll go, and the people of Israel will be rich with the riches of Egypt when they go. There'll be success in this mission. He will bring about the result that He has planned. So you and I don't need to worry about it. You know, God will help us, and He will give us the victory according to the victory that He sees that we should have. Now, it may not turn out how we expect. You know, success is in doing what God asks us to do, not necessarily in what we see as the result of doing that. The success is in doing what God has for us to do. That's success. Moses was assured of success if he would just obey what God wanted him to do. God reminded him of who he was. We mentioned this already briefly there, but verse 14, he says, I am that I am. I'm the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you may not feel worthy, but I am God, Moses. Moses was so wound up in how he could or couldn't do it that he failed to see God's part in the process. May we see that all our excuses are invalid if God is calling us, because God is God. God says, I am that I am. I'm the ever-present one. I'm the one who brought forth Abraham out of and promised him this land. I am that God. You know, we need to quit looking at self and look to the God of the impossible. In Zechariah 4:6, he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Moses, it's not about who you are. It's about who I am. God told Moses to tell Israel, you're commissioned. Moses said, they won't believe me, and they'll ask who I am and why, who you are and all these things. God says, you know what you need to tell them, Moses? You need to tell them that I sent you. You see, 40 years earlier, what was he doing? He was doing what Moses thought. He was jumping on. This is Moses delivering the Israelites. Now God says, now Moses, things have changed. This isn't the same as it was 40 years ago. You go and tell them, this time it's me that's using you to do what I've called you to do. It's me that has a plan for you people of Israel. He was not to go to Israel for himself, but he was to go as God's representative. You know, if you're doing what God has called you to do, and anyone says, "You, who do you think you are?" So I'm really nobody, but God sent me to do this. I get a little bit of a chuckle sometimes, and so far I don't think I've gotten into trouble for doing it. But you ever go to those mailboxes? Sometimes when we're on distribution day, you go through the mailbox that says, no unsolicited mail. I mean, some say no junk mail. I don't have a problem with that, because what I'm delivering, if it has God's word on it, is the furthest thing from junk that this world ever knows. But sometimes it says no unsolicited mail. You know what I think? Every single time I see that, almost without fail in my mind, this is not unsolicited. This is commissioned. God told me to go with the gospel, and He told me to give it to all I can. Now, I don't want to disregard somebody's wishes and requests. I'm not saying it in that way. I'm not blatantly, flagrantly saying, too bad for you. But it always comes to my mind that this is not unsolicited. This is commanded and commissioned of God to be done, to give the gospel. You know, we need to remember that God has, if God's called us to do something, we're not just stepping out and just doing something because we feel on a whim to do it. We're doing what God has called us to. And that's what God said to Moses. Moses, quit making excuses and do the thing that I have called you to do. And God gave Moses a plan to do it. And in verse 18 to 22 of chapter 4, God's plan is unfolded as to what Moses was supposed to do. He was supposed to go, and I know we left off the reading before that, but he says, just go and get it done. And here's exactly how you're going to do it. Excuse me, actually, it's in chapter 3, verse 18 to 22, and we did read it. He says, go to the Israelites, go to the elders and tell them the Lord has sent you. And then you go to Pharaoh and tell him what you're supposed to say. And to Pharaoh, he won't let you go, but don't worry. Here's my plan, and this is how it's going to work. But he had a plan. He didn't need to try and figure out. He didn't need to go back and think, okay, now how am I going to work this out? How exactly am I going to plan this? No, God gave him exactly what he wanted him to do, point by point by point by point. This is how it's going to work, Moses. You know, if God calls you to do something for him, he will show you what to do. You may look at the overall task, leading 1 million people or 2 million people out of Egypt. However am I going to do that? That's just overwhelming. But God said, no, Moses, start by going to your people, go to the elders, explain to them this is what's going to take place. Then you take those elders with you and you go to Pharaoh and you tell them this is what's going to take place. And this is how it's going to pan out. You know, once we submit to God and to do what God wants us to do, God will work out and reveal to us the details of how we're to do it. Sometimes we make an excuse because we're just overwhelmed by the thought of the task. But one step at a time, God will lead us. What does he say? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust him. God gave Moses a plan, and God affirmed his power to Moses. He said, you know, you're worried people won't believe you, Moses? Here's some things you can show them. They're pretty remarkable things, weren't they? How would you like to have a rod that you think, this has helped me walk, this has helped me look after the sheep? And God says, throw it on the ground. He says, I'll throw a stick on the ground. Okay, Lord, whatever. And it turns into a snake. Wow. Yeah, okay. Step back, right? No doubt it was an overwhelming thing. Moses said, I just was holding that in my hand, and now it's a snake. Now God says, no, grab it by the tail, not the mouth, grab it by the tail. It'll turn into a rod again. You sure, Lord, because I really don't want to be picking up a snake by the tail. Boom, turn into a rod again. Moses, just put your hand in your chest here and pull it out. Leprosy? The most feared thing? Leprosy? Don't worry, Moses, put it back in. Pull it out. It's gone. My hand is just like brand new again. Moses, if they don't believe those things, just take some water and pour it out on the earth and the water will turn into blood. What was God saying? God was saying, Moses, my power is with you. See, now if God would do some of those things for me, I would know his power was with me. You know, the reality is we don't need to have those miracles. We've got them recorded for us in his word, but we need to trust the power of God in our life. Never forget the power of God to help you to accomplish God's will with your life. You've seen what he's done in your life. Oh, you may not have had a rod turn into a snake or leprous hand. You know, I was probably glad. I'm glad my hand has never turned to leprosy and been healed from it again, even been healed from it. You know, you may say, I've never seen those things, but just stop and take stock of your life for a few minutes and stop and think about the ways that God has led in your life and the miraculous things that have taken place in your life, maybe protecting you from something, maybe miraculously providing a need, maybe just opening a door for you, an opportunity that you say, hey, where did that come from? And you realize it was God. God. You stop and see what God has done, and you realize that's the power that I have to go and do what God has called me to do. And God reminded Moses who made him and who gave him ability. You know, Moses said, I'm a slow speech. I've got some speech problems, Lord. I'm not a person that you should use. But God said, Moses, who made the ear? Who made a person whether they can hear or not hear, whether they can see or not see? Did not I, the Lord? What's God saying? Moses, I made you who you are and how you are, and I can make you to be anything that I need you to be. And so just realize, just lean upon me to equip you for the job at hand. You know, if God has called you to do something, He will give you the ability to do it. Somebody said, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. Sometimes that's the way it seems. Because we sometimes, when we're making excuses, we don't seem to see the way God has equipped us. But God has equipped us, but then He continues to equip us as the time goes on. There's nothing too hard for God. That's a statement that's repeated over and over again. Abraham, you're going to have a child. How can this be? I'm too old. Is there anything too hard for me, Abraham? And so it goes throughout the scriptures. There's nothing too hard for God. And God gave Moses a partner for the work. You know, Moses should have been willing to go based on the things that God had said. Verse 14 of chapter 4 says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Understandably, God was upset with Moses, because every excuse God had met with a reason that wasn't a valid excuse. And still Moses says, Lord, send who you'll send. So God said, okay, Moses, I'll have a partner for you. My presence should be enough, but I'll have a physical partner with you, your brother. And he will be your spokesman. You tell him what I tell you, and he will tell the people what I have told you. He'll be your mouth, and you'll be, as it were, his God. In other words, you'll be the person who tells him what I say. Aaron was to be that spokesman. And yet, you look at what the Bible says often, and what it says Moses said unto the children of Israel. You know, I think realizing later on, Moses realized that God had prepared him for that place. And God had other things, of course, for Aaron to do. You know, so often God gives us someone to help and encourage us, even though His presence should be enough. But sometimes we step out and we say, well, I'm still a little reluctant, and God sends somebody along by our side, and it just gives us that extra boost of confidence, that extra strength that we need to do what we need to do. And so we think about excuses this morning, and we've seen that Moses made many. But God answered them all and more. Perhaps some of the things that God said answered some of the excuses that he knew Moses didn't verbalize, but he had in his heart even more. You see, we often make excuses, maybe because we don't feel equipped. Maybe we've been discouraged. Maybe we're just daunted by the task, and we think, how can I ever do this? Maybe because we're distracted by things of life and we're not where we really should be. And so we say, Lord, I can't. You don't understand this, and we start to make excuses in our life. Maybe just because we don't want to do what we should do, and we make an excuse But God has the answer to all of them, because if He's calling you, He already knows that you can do it with His strength. There's really no sense in making excuses to a God who knows everything, the end from the beginning, and He knows us inside and out. The answers to those excuses are not in us, they're in Him and who He is. What is it you're making excuses about today? Is it, you know I need to trust the Lord as my Savior, but what will people think? What will people think if maybe they think that you're already a Christian, and isn't that an excuse people use? What will people think if I respond at the invitation and I go forward and people already thought that I was a Christian and I realized that God has been dealing with my heart that I wasn't? You know, that kept me from accepting the Lord for some time in my life as a boy. But people think I'm already a Christian. Is it about why you can't obey the Lord, following Him in baptism? Why I'd go to church more, but I talk to people about the Lord more, but... And we have our excuses. Is it about why you can't serve God in a particular area? Lord, I know that that's an area that you're calling me to, but I'm not the right person for that. Is it about why you aren't where you're supposed to be? You know, when it comes right down to it, we need to quit making excuses and get busy with what God is calling us and speaking to us about. Let's pray together.